God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is based off of our gospel reading. As the cover of our bulletin depicts, Jesus uses this figure of speech as he is the vine, we are the branches. And in the midst of this special figure of speech, we need to hang on to one very important concept. Our life, our strength, everything who we are comes from the source, that vine, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus uses the word abide in our text very frequently. And very often we want to associate a human definition of abide. That human definition is, you know, two people sort of sitting next to each other like you're doing in the pews. Or two people traveling together. But God uses it in a different way. He says, he who abides in me and I in him. He's not necessarily saying that, you know, just come walk with me, come travel with me. He isn't just coming saying, you know, just give me a call maybe once a week or send me a text or an email. He's saying, he who abides in me and I in him. Is there something different with this word in? And the answer is yes. See, in human understanding, we have a hard time dealing with this because in our human interactions with other people, we don't necessarily abide inside of somebody else. That sounds a little strange and weird, but not for the living God. The living God who sends us his Spirit abides inside of us. That's why he uses this beautiful figure of speech. Of the branches and the vine. The branch by itself has no life, has no strength. It gets all its nutrients, all its source of energy, all its life, so to speak, from the vine. So it is with us as Christians. The source of our life, who we are, is being in Christ. And when we mean in Christ, meaning Christ is in us, and we also are in him. To describe this in human terms is impossible. It can only be described in spiritual and godly ways. So it sort of begs the question, what does this mean? What does it mean that he who abides in me and I in him? Well, let's pick up Jesus' other words in the Gospel of John. And let's connect it to the Lord's Supper, the way that John does in chapter 6. Jesus speaks here in John chapter 6, verse 56, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." Now, at this point in the Gospel, in John chapter 6, Jesus isn't sitting there and carving up his flesh. He's not carving out his blood, so to speak. It is in reference, however, to the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in with and under the bread and the wine, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And again, we have that similar abiding concept and use of the word in. As we consume this bread and wine, what is in that bread and wine? What is that bread and wine? That bread and wine is the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On the outside, we see the bread and wine. But by God's promise and our trust in that promise, it is the body and blood of Christ. Jesus has similar concept with our text from John 15:5. He who abides in me and I in him, that special connection here that is only capable because he is God. Now notice there's a result here of our abiding. That result is he bears much fruit. Yes, that is the purpose of the branch. And what is the purpose of the fruit? The purpose of the fruit, plain and simply, is from the tree's perspective or from the plant's perspective, propagation. This is how the plant reproduces itself. So it is with the body of Christ. Christ is in us. We are connected to Him. We are in Him. And because of this connection, there is fruit, Christian fruit, for lack of a better term, that produces. Not that we do, but that Christ inside of us produces through us. Yes, we have the Almighty, powerful God here we're talking about. The one who takes sinners like me, like you, and the whole world and says, once you get connected to me, you are now changed. You now will produce fruit. I know it sounds kind of strange. Why would God take imperfect creatures like me and you and work through them? Why doesn't God just sort of take his magic wand and sort of tap people on the shoulder and say, you're now a Christian, you're now a Christian? God wants to show the power of his love and how he can work through sinners, because God knows our thought, our word, our deed. He knows every text, every email we send. He even knows what websites we go to. And even in the midst of our great sin, even in the midst of our shortcomings, Christ can work through you. Because once we are baptized into Christ, we now bear the name of Christ. That is the connecting point, baptism. And the Spirit now resides within us. And the Spirit now changes us. Because it is God's work. Matthew chapter 7 describes it this way. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Matthew very correctly notes that it is Christ working within us, through us, that creates this faith. This isn't something you do, but Christ working through you. Because Christ is the one that has grafted us to Him. He now changes us, works through us, and fruit abides. Now, I will admit, as Lutherans, we cherish a special particular passage that reminds us that we are saved by God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And someone may say, but Pastor, is not the fruit our own works? And the answer is no. The fruit is Christ's work through us. Yes, we are saved by God's grace, and it does change us. The Spirit working through us. We have to remember that this is God's doing. That's why we don't have a problem when it comes to James chapter 2. Some people are trying to always resolve James and the Apostle Paul. Because James chapter 2 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Bottom line, it is not works nor fruit that justifies. It is God's grace that justifies. It is God's grace that attaches us to the vine. It is God's grace that makes this all possible. We are the tools, the instrument by which God's grace flows through, which fruit then results. Jesus says, abide in me, and I in him. And he who does that will bear much fruit. And fruit is what we're talking about here, the purpose. Not only are we saved by God's grace, but now the propagation must take place. And God uses this fruit to attract others to his kingdom. It is this fruit of love, forgiveness, this special relationship we have with Christ that the world sees and says, I want to be part of it. And the Holy Spirit works that way. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Yes, fruit is necessary. It is the byproduct of what it means to abide in Christ. But we have to, for our message for today, now that we sort of set that theology straight, we have to ask, what does it really mean to abide in Christ? Because too often in our world for today, we might just think of abiding in Christ as more of a casual thing. As I've just sort of outlined previously, there's nothing casual about it. It is a life-changing thing. This isn't something you just do once a week or whenever you sort of feel like it. This is a change within you. You are now a new creation, a new creature that does what? That bears fruit. If we are not bearing fruit, we are not abiding in Christ, plain and simple. We are not connected to him. And our scriptures do remind us that if we're not connected to him, we won't bear fruit. Those branches will be cut off and burned. Yes, we do believe, teach, and confess there is a place of eternal torment, the place of hell. Now, I do not want you to be worried for a moment. Am I producing enough fruit? Am I producing the right kind of fruit? Because the answer to that question is, are you in Christ? If you are in Christ through baptism and his word, you are producing fruit, plain and simple. We do not have to worry about the fruit because you're not doing the fruit. We just have to be worried about being connected to Christ. Are we abiding in him? So that is where the real struggle is. It's a struggle every day. The world is trying to pull us away from Christ. And every day we need to fight for life, eternal life, the life that Christ brings. Not that we really fight for it. We just fight against the devil who is trying to pull us away. It is Christ who comes, Christ who grafts us into his vine, Christ who gives us this life. Unfortunately, our human sinful nature can cut ourselves off from Christ. And Satan is alive and well, trying to convince us to give up Christ, give up being connected to him, for something that the world would conceive as quote-unquote better. But what the world cannot give, Christ gives. During this Easter season, we do celebrate what the world cannot give. The world cannot give love. The world cannot give the forgiveness of sins. The world cannot reattach us back to our Creator, our Redeemer, and the one who keeps us in the faith. No, only God does that. So now that we are in the season post-Easter, post-resurrection, we continue to remind ourselves the value of that death and resurrection. In that death and resurrection, we have life. So we are drawn here today to Christ, his word, his sacrament. We are drawn here today because in Christ we have life. So we ask the Holy Spirit to guard our hearts so that our thoughts and minds may not wander from Christ, but daily to be reconnected to him through his word and through his sacrament. We ask the Holy Spirit to continue to keep us in that faith, help us to resist the temptations of the evil one, so that we may continue to abide in him and he in us. And as a result, fruit will come forth. So this day we give great praise and thanks to God that he has grafted us to him, connected us to him through baptism, through his word, through his sacraments, so that we will have life, which in turn testifies to the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the fruit in his name. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.